I never get sick of beef enchiladas.
What's up, Twitch people and Icecast people and everybody in the Discord? This is the Intellectual Dollar Tree. Well, we do this show live every Wednesday from 7 to about 8. Then we do some post-game afterwards. Sometimes it's 15, 20 minutes. Sometimes it goes to 11. I am Producer Dave, and you can find me on the contact page at our website, echoplexmedia.com. You can join the chat at discord.me/echoplex. It says it down there.
And I am HK Perrin. You can find me on Twitter at HK Perrin, where I tweet at least once a month.
That's the good shit right there. If you do catch that tweet in your feed, that means that you were on at the exact right time. So this week, this is from a listener who sent us an email with a link. And then I scolded her for doing so. But then I thought, oh, you know what? She listens to our show. So then I thanked her. I was unaware of this, and I was like blissfully unaware of this. And then I listened to it, and now I'm unblissfully aware of it. I only pulled clips from about the first 20 minutes of it. And there's, people can go listen to the rest of it themselves. This is Sam Harris's most recent podcast, where he's essentially responding to people who have said that he is not taking white supremacy seriously enough, especially in light of the way that he talks about Islam and this particularly radical Islam. So without further ado, I'm going to start playing the clips. This is a podcast. It's audio only. So I'm just going to play it from our audio player here. There's no real reason to have the website up showing his website while we listen to this audio.
So people are just going to be subjected to our image for this entire stream?
Nope. Now, while I play the clips, I'll put up a fucking an advertisement for ourselves, if that's okay with everybody.
Welcome to the Making Sense podcast. This is Sam Harris. Okay, well,
anytime he starts with okay, it's fucking sign that he's mad about something.
Welcome to the Making Sense podcast. This is Sam Harris, bot 3000.
Okay.
Well, seems like I got into trouble in a housekeeping I did for the Judea Pearl podcast. I recorded that in the immediate aftermath of the mass shootings in the U.S. in El Paso and Dayton. Many people sent me emails and tweets suggesting that I look at my subreddit, which apparently has been going haywire for quite some time. I think half the people in my subreddit despise me, so it's a perpetual state of war there. But my comments on the mass shootings and white supremacy, white nationalism, racism, etc., seem to have caused people to go fairly berserk there. So I looked into this. I don't usually look at Reddit. I couldn't get very far. I mean, honestly, it was like looking at one's own colonoscopy if done by a madman. It was not a pretty sight. Some people were defending me.
Yeah, that was super weird, right? Like, why?
What? Yeah. That made me uncomfortable.
So thank you for that. But the subreddit really is bizarre. In any case, it seems like I could clarify a few things, which I will do now. One thing that people seem to have taken issue with and widely misunderstood was my claim that Trump's "go back to your own countries" tweets were not clear signs of his racism. Now, I've long said that I have no doubt that Trump is racist, but I've often said that we have to be precise in making these allegations, right? My problem with the left is that it's finding evidence of racism everywhere, even where it manifestly does not exist. And here was a case in Trump's recent tweets against the so-called squad where it was susceptible to other readings, right? And I thought it was counterproductive to seize upon these tweets as clear signs of his racism.
His tweet said, "Go back to your own country."
Yeah.
He said, "Go fix it and then come back," to be fair.
To four people, three-fourths of whom were American citizens born in America.
And one of whom immigrated here and was very young and is, I would suggest, so American as to want to run for office in this fucking crazy country.
And be elected.
And win.
By Americans.
Overwhelming majority in Michigan.
Yeah. Trump needs to go back to whatever. I don't know if, is he from a country? Dimension?
Dimension. He's from dimension. He's from a very orange dimension.
He needs to go back to his own dimension and fix it.
Okay, so here the next clip, Sam Harris is going to go ahead and explain why, even though telling people to go back to their own country has been used in very, very racist ways since anybody ever told anybody to go back to their own country, unless they're like, "Oh, you miss your mom? You should go back to your country and visit. I'll see you when you get back. I'll watch your dog."
Yeah, and by the way, the way Trump used it was racist.
Yes, because it wasn't like, "Oh, you should go to Mexico. If you're worried about your dog, I'll watch your dog." That's what your nice neighbor would say.
You can't really argue that the way Trump used it was not racist, because he meant these people, look different than me, therefore they must be from another country, which is racist.
It's like one of the most obvious racist things that people say to non-white people is to go back to your own fucking country. Like it's just you might as well just be saying the N-word on the street corner. Do you know what I'm saying?
And Trump's family did not come here, you know, before the U.S. was a country. They came here like, wasn't it like his great grandpa?
I don't remember the specifics.
In like the early 1900s?
Yeah, I want to say it was in the 20th century, like the early 20th century, yeah.
Yeah. Either his great grandpa or his grandpa. But the dude's not that American. He's about as American as... like as most, these four,
or is just the average person, like three or four generations, I think might be pretty close to, like, as we might say, the center of the bell curve. I'm just guessing. I don't have this kind of data, but I mean, I don't think my family goes back that far. Although we're not one of them weird family tree families. You run into them weird family tree families, fucking find other people to have your kids go on play dates with. Let me tell you, because that family tree shit, man, where they're scrapbooking and fucking they have this elaborate family tree that somehow goes back to Napoleon. Those people are weird.
It's not like being American makes you a fantastic person, too. Like being like way more American than someone else. Like, just because your family came here earlier doesn't make you better than someone whose family came here later.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I meet plenty of people who I would imagine their family have been here for quite some time, and they're fucking assholes.
Yep.
And I've met lovely people who you could just tell that they probably were not born in America, because they're, you know, the way they speak English is indicative of having learned it from another language, and they're lovely.
Like, so most of the people I work with weren't born in America, and they're fantastic people. And the reason that I'm working with them and they weren't born in America is because for some reason we in America have decided that education is not very important. So we don't have a whole lot of really good engineers. And the few good engineers that we do have, you know, are spread out among like way more jobs than they can fill. So we have a whole lot of jobs and not enough Americans to do them. So we hire people from outside the country.
During this clip, which I am going to pour myself a cocktail during because I pulled the clip, Sam Harris is going to explain how he understands that saying go back to your own country is racist, but we shouldn't jump to the conclusion that Trump is racist when he says it, more or less.
Again, I'm giving Trump the benefit of the doubt here, which I think I should always do, because I despise the man. People often accuse me of claiming that I have no biases. That's simply untrue. I have biases, and I try to correct for them. Here's my bias. I find Trump to be one of the most repellent human beings I can think of. That is a significant bias. I should be bending over backwards to give him the benefit of the doubt when there is a doubt. And the left should do likewise, especially if they don't want four more years of Trump in office. So let's go to the tweets. Okay, this is what Trump tweeted. So interesting to see, quote, progressive Democrat congresswomen who originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe, the worst, most corrupt, and inept anywhere in the world, if they even have functioning government at all, now loudly and viciously telling the people of the United States, the greatest and most powerful nation on earth, how our government is to be run. Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came, then come back and show us how? Okay, well, the president is clearly expressing contempt for these four congresswomen and contempt for the countries he imagines they came from. Now, his error here, his main error, is that only one of them is an immigrant, Ilhan Omar, from Somalia. And Somalia is precisely one of those countries that fits Trump's description here. But the fact that Trump was wrong about the other three congresswomen, they're all natural-born U.S. citizens, that is being interpreted as a symptom of his race.
I feel like the best reply to that tweet, for at least the three who are U.S.-born citizens, the best reply would have been, "We're trying."
that is being interpreted as a symptom of his racism, right? Go back to your own countries when, in fact, this is their country. I ascribe this to Trump's ignorance. He couldn't be bothered to figure out who these people were. He might not be able to name all four of them. I bet he knows Ilhan Omar. He knows AOC. Does he know Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley? I wouldn't bet on it. It is easy to imagine that he just assumed they were all immigrants.
Because he's a racist.
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to assume that anybody with brown skin is an immigrant, that's racist. That's all. There are plenty of white people who immigrate too. You don't assume they're racist. You are racist. You don't, well, I hope like that we're not adding extra racist white people from other countries. That would really piss me off. I guess Milo is here for a while. Does he live here now? Fuck, that sucks. That's the kind of immigration I want to stop.
I don't think he does.
Oh, he said that one of his houses got destroyed in a hurricane.
I hope he doesn't live here.
But I think he might have been lying about that.
If he does, we should kick him out.
That's racist.
Go back to your own country. Is it racist?
I don't know. They don't want him either.
He's white, right? Milo?
Yes.
Yeah.
So like the problem here is that I don't care if someone is racist because they're stupid or if someone is racist because they're evil. Like if what they put out there is fucking identical to what someone who just thinks brown people are inferior says, if what someone's saying is identical to that, I don't care if they're ignorant of it. If it's just somebody you meet at a bar, you're like, what an asshole. Oh, well, maybe we should go to another bar. But if it's like somebody like the president of the United States, like trying to read the fucking tea leaves of his mind and shit is useless, right? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, racist is racist.
Well, the end result is all that matters. He's like emboldening people who are racist. And there's enough of them that like I would rather they not be emboldened.
But like... So what you mean is like accidental racists? This is like that lady we talked about on Sunday, the lady who was saying like, oh, I'm okay if black people come here, just not black people who are married to white people. That's immoral. It's like, you are a racist. And you know how I said I'd bet like $1 million that if you had asked her point blank, are you a racist? She would say, no, I'm not a racist. I watched a video of that girl being asked, are you a racist? And she goes, no, I'm not a racist. Because these people don't know that they're racist.
Well, neither. Apparently, fucking this super fucking genius brain scientist is having a hard time figuring out who's. He said that he thinks Trump's a racist. And then he said that the most racist thing Trump's probably said since being the president, because this is like about sitting Congress people. These are people who are like. Their socioeconomic class, he's not shitting on them for being poor. You're not rich if you're in Congress, right? You're rich if you own Congress. But like these aren't, you know, I think like this is, he picked out four popular new young women who were elected to Congress who all happen to be non-white and are kind of outspoken on racial issues. So this is like the whole fucking package is there. He could have just kept his mouth shut. Oh, wait a minute. that's what's not going to happen. Could you imagine fucking Barack Obama coming out and telling fucking be like, cracker ass Lindsey Graham needs to go back to the South where he came from? I mean, come on. Because that's kind of, you know, that would have to be what would, you know, white devil.
I think if he did that with a Republican Congress, they would have impeached him immediately.
Yeah, I think so. I mean.
But then again, we're talking about a Congress where. They refuse to let that guy have his constitutionally mandated Supreme Court pick. And because that guy were like in the year of an election. And I guarantee you, if RBG goes down in the next, like in 2020, Mitch McConnell will do everything he can to pass.
Push someone through.
Yeah, to push someone through before the election.
Well, here's more of
Before she even flatlined.
Like up, she's on life support. Let's start hearings.
Yeah.
So let's not joke about that. First of all, because
she seems like a nice lady. And secondly, like, don't die.
I hope she never dies. She's a fantastic lady.
I would hope that she dies in her sleep peacefully at an age that is appropriate once she's accomplished everything she'd like to accomplish in her life and her family is at peace. Because she's eventually going to go.
Technology keeps her alive forever, and she eventually becomes the ruler of the universe.
So here's the next clip. This is a lot of like this is a lot of like Sam kind of hand waving the idea that white nationalism is a problem. There's one of these places where he starts bringing up statistics, but he doesn't contextualize it. And I sort of dug into one of the things he said. I'm not sure it's this one. It's like kind of early on, though.
Had these women come from Ireland, right, at the height of the potato famine, Trump could easily have said, go back to your own starving country and fix that before telling us how to run the greatest nation on earth. And there would have been no implication of racism. And the problem is...
bullshit. There was fucking massive prejudice against Irish people because of their fucking Irish heritage when they were immigrating to the United States.
That is racism.
Right. They were Irish. They were called fucking... I don't want to use any gamer words.
Is he mad they were using the word racist and not xenophobic?
Most of the time, they're in the same fucking basket. They don't like come in their own. They're not in like two separate aisles of the store. Do you know what I'm saying? Like racism and xenophobia are kind of like, they're kind of penetrating one another. They're in
the Venn diagram between racists and xenophobes is almost a circle.
Right. There aren't a lot of fucking people who are, you would call xenophobic, who are like, well, no more French should immigrate. this is not a common sentiment. There might be some dude out there who really hates the French. And if he's not from California and he's visited Paris and like isn't able to go, no, I'm from San Francisco. And then they're like, oh, aha, you're like us. Then,
and the thing is, Donald Trump is not xenophobic. He is fucking racist.
And xenophobic.
I don't think so. I think he's just racist.
That's right, because he imported his wife.
He was saying like, we should have more people from Norway come in. And it's like, oh, you mean the people that are white?
He said, for example, Norway. He also meant like Peru.
No, he meant just the white people. That is exactly what he meant. Just the white people, because he's a fucking racist. Everything he says that is racist is so clearly racist. And I don't know why this dude is defending him.
To be fair, he's just defending humanity against charges of racism. It's his shtick, right? The same thing he did to Charles Murray. He's going to do it for Molyneux in the next 12 months if he like his listenership doesn't go up.
Someone's a racist, just call him a racist.
And then move the fuck on. And if people don't agree with you, then fuck, maybe they disagree with you.
Or maybe they're racist.
Right? I don't know. The idea that we're having to like split hairs over whether or not the president telling a bunch of brown women to go back to their country is racist, it says something pretty fucking sad about our society, especially when this is like a fucking renowned fucking thinker doing it. Like you'd think a renowned thinker could be like, you know what? That's pretty fucking racist. Like I'm tired of the left calling everyone racist, but all this is doing is making that worse because this is bad.
I don't know if I would call him a thinker. Well, thoughter a word?
Well, I just mean that like
he just thoughts all over.
I mean, we've been making fun of him for months now. And even before that, we were making fun of him on the Sunday show when I thought I could sneak it in without the panel fucking mutinying. And but that's like what a lot of people think, that he's like some great thinker. And like if some people thought that about me, I would be so careful about what I was saying. And I would be, I don't know, I would try to be like better than this.
The left is as fixated on race as the far right is. And that is not a recipe for good politics. Anyway, that's the basis for my demurral about Trump's
tweets. Hold on a second. Pause it for a second. The left is fixated on race in that the left wants people of different races to be treated the same.
He's talking about when he says the left... he doesn't mean anything, I don't think. He does. Okay. So, for example, I can't think of the last time he had someone of the left. Oh, Ezra Klein. And that was like over a year ago. And it was just to scold him for criticizing him. And Sam Harris looked even worse after that. Right. But other than that, like he doesn't have much interaction with the left except for people on Twitter telling him to go fuck himself.
And so if every left-leaning person, step one, if you have delusions of grandeur because you're a fucking overly self-important trust fund baby. Oh, step one, be an overly self-important trust fund baby. Step two, say things that piss off the left because you're like, I don't know, platforming the guy who wrote the bell curve. And then step three, the left always complains about racism. It works like that. It's skepticism, critical thinking, man. Come on.
Don't use that word. I like the word skepticism.
He's an ignoramus and a blowhard and a bully. And sometimes that's the most parsimonious explanation for the chaos he causes.
He didn't have to use the word parsimonious.
I don't know what that word means.
In the context, we can guess that it means, because it's Sam Harris, the most logical, the most reasonable. And anybody in the chat know what parsimonious means? We're going to look this one up.
Should
real
I Google
quick.
It?
Yeah, let's Google it.
Parsimonious.
If you spell it wrong, Google will know what you're talking about there.
Google knew. I typed Parsi and Google was like, oh, you're trying to use this $5.
He's like, you're
word.
Watching a Sam Harris podcast. it's second link is Sam Harris's podcast.
Unwilling to spend money or use resources, stingy or frugal. Can you backtrack this and see how he used it?
I think he used it to mean like the yeah, here we go. Let's start like right here.
Anyway, that's the basis for my demurral about Trump's tweets. He's an ignoramus and a blowhard and a bully. And sometimes that's the most parsimonious explanation for the chaos he causes.
I think he means to use it in the way where you would say it's the most conservative, not like politically conservative, but like, you know, when they say conservative estimate. See, that's like frugal and unwilling to spend money is, I think he might just be misusing the word.
Yeah, I think he is.
But if I'm guessing he means to say that it's like the least inflammatory way to say it, the most...
I think he probably means conservative.
Right. And I don't know. I would just never use that word on this fucking show, even if I knew exactly what it meant and it meant and it was appropriate, because I would fucking, a fucking Sammy would just fucking be like, you have to put yourself using the word parsimonious on the soundboard. She's like, I can't believe you said that. She's like, you had 8 cocktails and you fucking blurted out parsimonious.
Yeah. If you're going to say parsimonious, just say stingy.
But then it doesn't make sense. Like if you use any of the synonyms we saw, it doesn't work. But maybe parsimonious is used that way, but only by fucking people who are dying to use the word parsimonious in their podcast.
Oh, you know, he could use another word, which is apparently a synonym for parsimonious. Niggardly.
I know what that word means, and it has nothing to do with the way the other word is, but I would still never use that on my fucking show.
Not generous, stingy, meager, scanty.
So he's basically, that's an ungenerous way to say, no, that's the most generous way to interpret. Anyway, here's the next clip.
But there was much more on the topic of white supremacy, and it appears to be widely believed that I use a double standard when thinking about white supremacy and jihadism. Okay, well, first,
here we go.
Intellectual honesty is really my master variable here.
Fuck.
And this might sound fairly preening of me to say, but read my book, Lying, if you want to understand my view on honesty in general.
No.
And this dictates a somewhat unusual way of speaking, and people seem to read into it something sinister when nothing sinister is there. So I'll give you 2 examples of how this happens routinely. If some terrible person makes a valid point, I'm not going to pretend that he's wrong just because he's a terrible person. A logically or factually or even ethically true statement is no less true if a serial killer or a neo-Nazi or some other repellent person has observed it to be so. So this gets me into trouble occasionally. And there's a related principle here, which is whatever the topic, it could be race, it could be violence, guns, terrorism, immigration, whatever it is, an honest walk through it will flirt with points that support the side you don't like. And in fact, these may be points raised by terrible people to support a position you don't like and may be right not to like.
Okay. Like, this is, he's just basically saying you shouldn't do guilt by association when someone terrible says something, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, but I'm starting to think he's a little sympathetic towards the president's view.
Maybe, because he said you can't, like, he's talked about this too before, you can't seriously examine some of these things without flirting with ideas, without, you know, entertaining ideas of the people that you think are horrible. But, like, if there's, for a guy who really likes to talk about ideas and talk about how they have consequences and shit, if somebody who has generally horrible ideas, like, has a take that seems logical, maybe it's, you shouldn't just dismiss it outright or whatever, but maybe it's time to take pause because you're like, wait a minute, I know what that guy says all the other time. Let me give this some thought. Let me put this into the context of what the person's saying.
Well, like, if someone is shouting at you like, hey, aren't black people bad? Should you be sitting there going, I don't know. Are black people bad?
Well, but if that person says that all the time and then wants to come talk to you about, for example, IQ differences between groups, maybe you should be skeptical of why they want to talk about that, even if what they're saying is, you know, as ostensibly true or whatever, right? Like, if what they're saying is borne out by some data set, you should be like, wait a minute. Maybe let me take a look at what else this person, oh, they have this to say. I'm just going to leave that alone. I'm not going to run around and say, oh, well, that's a good point, buddy. Now you leave him a fuck alone. Fucking just ignore it if it's like a shitty person.
Yeah, but now you're talking like a person who doesn't want to get taken advantage of by a grifter.
Sam Harris is a pretty strong grifter in his own right, in my opinion, and I'm not sure that other grifters are really going to be taking advantage of him anytime soon.
Well, he's basically espousing the view of, hey, if I give you some bullshit, like, don't think about other bullshit that I've given you. Just consider that one little bit of bullshit I've just given you.
That is absolutely correct. And I, like, don't have a problem if, like, Sam Harris has an interesting interview and he brings up good points. Like, if he brought on somebody like Richard Spencer and was just challenging him the whole time from sort of what he believes to be a centrist position, I'd be like, that's an overall good, right? Because this guy, who a lot of people who might sort of be, because the way the skeptic community has gone, a lot of people who might sort of be enticeable by someone's rhetoric like Richard Spencer need to hear somebody like Sam Harris being like, no, what you're saying is white supremacy. And I, like, don't, like, I don't find that to be morally good. And, like,
I think what he's trying to do is say, like, basically do, like, the, you know, the boy who cried wolf, that story,
mm-hmm. The boy who cried out of context.
Yeah, it's like there comes a point where if someone is just constantly shouting, you know, extremely toxic views and racist views, then you can stop taking them seriously.
Right. Even if they happen to be right about something, like somebody's totally racist but knows who's going to win the World Series. Okay, they knew who was going to win the World Series. They fucking, what, make them a sportscaster? No. Right? Like, that's, like, but I don't know what he means here. He did a really good job of not really saying anything other than, like, if somebody says something true, it's true. Okay, well, good for you.
Let's talk about white supremacy and jihadism and how I have spoken about each in the past. Just so there's no confusion here, I'll make a few declarative statements. White supremacy is a real phenomenon. It is an ideology, and it is a source of violence. No question about that. The question is, how big a problem is it? How well subscribed is it? What exactly do white supremacists believe? Why do they believe it? What do they want to do? What are they likely to be able to do? And compare that to the same set of questions for jihadists. If there's an apparent double standard in how I relate to these two phenomena, it's the result of my giving different answers to those questions. So to make it even more precise, what percent of white people, however we define that group are white supremacists or are fond of white supremacist organizations if they're not members themselves, or would support them, and who either publicly or privately celebrate their violence, right? So you hear that some white supremacist went into a mosque or a synagogue or a school and killed 20 people and left some manifesto online. What percent of white people in the U.S., say, recognize that to be a valid expression of an ideology that they support? To pick a concentric circle further out than that, what percent of white people are just not quite sure how they feel about it? They're kind of open-minded. You know, maybe that school did have to be shot up, right? Maybe those Jews in that synagogue said something that warranted their murder. How many people fall into that category? And
why does that matter?
We should ask all these questions about jihadism, jihadist terrorism, and the full set of the world's Muslims.
Why does that matter?
So he's...
Didn't he just get through saying, like, hey, even if someone is like a super shitty person, like, if they say something right, don't assume that it's wrong just because they said it? Or
something like
something,
that.
Something along those lines. So, like, if someone is a super shitty person, why does it matter, like, what other people believe about them?
The other thing he's doing here is, like, he's basically saying, he's basically going to fall back to this study that he keeps falling back to. It's almost 10 years old by now, where Muslims, some group of Muslims from around the world was surveyed, and the questions were asked, I don't remember exactly how they were asked, and like alarming numbers of them gave answers that would indicate that they're like somewhat, I would say sympathetic to the idea of jihad. But I don't know how the question was asked, and I know enough about Islam that for some people, jihad just means an internal struggle. And for other people, jihad means, you know, let's do a terrorism. You know, jihad
just means struggle, right?
Right.
Like the word itself.
Right. It just means struggle. So it's open to interpretation. So some places in the world when the study was taken, maybe jihad didn't even have that kind of connotation, right? Like places like the United Arab Emirates or whatever, where it's very kind of westernized, at least in the big cities if you're rich. It's not so good if you're not in the big cities and you're poor. So. But it might mean something completely different here than like in America. An American Muslim might know damn straight when the people talk about jihad here that we mean like, we mean
terrorism,
generally like terrorist groups. Right.
Yeah.
And so
like, and if you asked white people, like, are you okay with white nationalism versus are you okay with terrorism? You'd get a vastly different response, even though the two are in very close proximity to each other.
Right. And the other error he's making here is that like people in the United States are afraid of white supremacist violence in the United States. White people make up, oh man, I forget what the number is now. It's 60 some odd percent of the United States population. Muslims make up 1.2% of the United States population. So if a few percent of the white people are sympathetic to or just straight up white nationalists, that presents like a higher probability that one of them is going to go potato and shoot somebody up than even if 50% of the 1.1% of America that's Muslim was sympathetic to jihad. Do you know what I'm saying? So it like doesn't even fucking compute. Like none of it doesn't make any sense, like what he's saying, because Muslims are 1.1 or 1.2% of the U.S. population. That's like very few people. That's like very few people total.
Big Papa Joji, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, says the two are not near each other.
Hey, hold on.
The two are very much near each other.
Here, check this out.
What's up?
Oh, I'm just showing him my hand.
Oh. No, he's talking about white nationalism and terrorism.
Oh, I thought he meant us.
The two are very near each other. White nationalism has a long history of terrorism. Like, terrorism is basically how white nationalists, yes, it does not equal terrorism. I didn't say a white nationalist is necessarily a terrorist, but white nationalist organizations very often promote terrorism. I mean, if you look at the most well-known white nationalist organization, the KKK, they have a long history of terrorist acts, and the Aryan Nation was a terrorist network. They would perform acts of terrorism all the time, and they eventually collapsed because all they were doing was terrorism.
So I have an idea. We have a show to get through here. Big Papa Jojo, during the post game, if you'd like to join the Discord and talk to HK about it via voice, we'd be happy to do that. But we're not going to argue like semantics of like what kind of shitty racist person is somebody. Like, we're happy to argue that with you during the post game, though. So after we get done with like the content and whatnot, we'd be happy to have that discussion with you. Although we're not going to do it in the chat. If you want to talk about it, you can join the Discord and join the voice chat during the post game. We're always happy to have people on, unless you say gamer words, and then we're going to mute you. Anyway, we're going to play the next clip here.
Now, I don't know the precise answers to these questions, but we have enough data to suggest that they're different. And I'll talk about why I think that is. But if you detect in me a different attitude toward these two phenomena, this is one reason why, right? I think that support for jihadism is far more common. There's a far greater percentage of the world's Muslims who acknowledge jihadism as legitimate, the killing of apostates and blasphemers, committing murder in defense of the faith as legitimate. And that's not an accident. Now, what that percentage is, again, I can't give you an exact number, but it's not 1%. It's not 2%. It's a far more disconcerting number than that. But if it were only 10% of the world's Muslims that had a soft spot for jihadism, that would be an enormous problem worth thinking about. That's a civilizational problem. That's a problem that probably exists in half the world's countries, if not more. What percentage of white people, again, I don't know how you define that, but anyone who could conceivably be a white supremacist, what percentage of white people have a soft spot for white supremacy?
It depends how you ask the question and what questions you ask.
Yeah.
If it's are you a white supremacist, people are going to say no, because even people who hold those views know that it's bad, and they're not likely to say it if you just straight up ask. But if you ask questions about things that are, we'll say, white supremacist adjacent, that there are, or that they're ingredients in the cake, it's like, do you like the eggs? Do you like the flour? Do you like the sugar? You like the heat the oven produces? Bam, you're a white supremacist. I know there's more shit than that in a cake. There's chocolate and fucking maybe chocolate chips if your cake is the bomb.
But also, the two are not mutually exclusive. You can be white and be a Muslim.
Well, that's in the United States.
And you can be non-white and be not a Muslim.
Right, and you can also
he should be talking about Muslims versus Christians.
The other thing is, you can also be Arab and not be a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people sort of just conflate those. That's why people go shoot up fucking Sikh temples or go, you know, attack Sikh temples thinking they're Muslims, because they're fucking ignorant. It's not like, oh, well, my mistake, I thought you were Muslims. No, that doesn't make it better. But this is all really stupid, because the question about jihad, man, more moderate people in the Islamic faith think of it as a struggle, and it might be their personal struggle. It, in some cases, for, you know, Louis Farrakhan's a piece of shit, and the Nation of Islam is like associated with Scientology, and I do not support the Nation of Islam. But when they said the struggle, their struggle was the struggle of the black people against the white supremacist structure. Nation of Islam was really big during the civil rights movement and whatnot. And they're essentially, I think they're like a, you know, essentially they're the white supremacists of black people. Like, they're horrible. They don't like gay people. They're like a fundamentally like far right group, if you ask me, just because they are like for black rights. They also don't like gay people and shit, and like the rest of the cake is there. They're just for black rights because they happen to be black, which sort of reminds me of white supremacy in a lot of ways, because those are people who are for white rights because they happen to be white. But this, it, the trying to get these kinds of numbers is really hard, because you could ask fucking, like, I would suggest to you that
there are ways in which the guy who wrote the bell curve is at least white nationalist adjacent, right? Like he's providing the intellectual firepower for the movement, and it doesn't bother him, at least, at the very least.
And it doesn't bother him that he's wrong.
He
or at least he won't concede that he's wrong,
but
even in the face of a ton of evidence that he's wrong.
Well, think of it the other way. Imagine if you were sure you were right about something. In fact, you knew you were right about something, but you found out that your work was being used by, we'll say in this case, white supremacists. Or maybe we'll bring it out of this realm and we'll just say a terrorist organization of some kind. They were using your material. Wouldn't you be like really quick to like reevaluate what the fuck you're doing?
Yeah, but I mean, if I reevaluated it and I still felt like I was right, I would make it my mission to go around and say, like, hey, quit using my material to promote this view. I completely disagree with this view. I would spend a lot of effort just trying to undo the damage that was done with my material.
Or at the very least, cover your own ass and go, hey, you know what? I don't agree with any of this stuff. And, you know, I think these things are right, but I don't think that they mean what these other people are saying that they mean. You know, that just because this is true doesn't mean that, you know, the next six things that these people are saying are true. And all this exists in a context, right? Like that's, but you don't hear, you know, Charles Murray doing that. You know, you don't hear people like Ben Shapiro doing that, right? You don't hear any of these fucking people that are, you know, for in one way or another, their work is inspiring, you know, I would say white supremacists like that. Like Charles Murray in particular, man, you don't know how many times I've fucking run into people who are like, oh, well, the race and IQ and this and that. And, you know, that's why black people are doing bad and their families are falling apart. Those people call the Majority Report all the time. I mean, you start laughing when they ask for a source because they know what the source is going to be, right?
Yeah.
So here's the rest of this.
It's either that book or the shitty studies that it was based on.
To be clear, this is not the same thing as asking what percentage of white people are a little racist, right? That's different, right? There are people who recognize in themselves racial bias.
So what percentage of Muslims are a little bit jihadi? I mean, what does that mean? Like, this is stupid, right? Because he's going to split all these hairs. It seems like he wants to split these hairs between different kinds of sort of like racial biases in what we're going to, like what we'll loosely define as white people. But on the flip side of it, he's like, oh, well, these people just believe in jihad. Fucking game over. Checkmate, Muslims. It doesn't make any sense, right? You can't slice and dice on one side. Well, you can, but it seems dishonest, or it seems incorrect or hypocritical. Yeah.
It should be, really, the question should be, hey, are you for terrorism of your specific view?
And then everybody says no, and there's no terrorists anymore.
Well, like, I'm sure you would have some percentage of people that are like, yeah, I'm okay with terrorism if it's for my view. You know, and if you're talking about percentages, that's the kind of percent you need, not the kind of percent that's like, hey, this word that you have that means something to you that means something completely different in America, are you for that?
So
versus
weird.
Like, hey, this word that we have that, you know, I'm asking Americans, so I know what it means to you, are you for that?
Who are absolutely appalled by ideological racism. Just as there are Muslims who take Islam seriously who are appalled by jihadism, right, and appalled by a group like ISIS. Certainly that's got to be a majority of Muslims, otherwise the game would be over. So,
okay, I'm going to answer a question in the chat. I guess this is an atheist stream. Neither of us believe in God, but what this...
Yeah, I was going to answer that. I was going to say I don't believe in God, but I mean, it's not like this stream is an atheist stream.
Right. In fact, this is a stream where maybe the us atheists and like really nice Christian people can come together and like dunk on some of these fucking geniuses, right?
I mean, I'm wearing Amazon jeans, but this isn't an Amazon stream.
That's got to be a majority of Muslims. Otherwise, the game would be over. So what percentage of white people in the U.S. do you think, sort of like the neo-Nazis, the KKK, or other white supremacist groups, or are poised to join them. Again, I don't know the data on this. I don't know that we can trust the data on this. It's unfortunate that some of the groups whose job it is to give us data of this sort have now proven themselves to be totally unreliable.
But that's a completely different question than the one that he was talking about.
Oh, I know. No, this is all a bunch of gymnastics so he can say that he is not as afraid of white nationalists as he is of like Muslims, like we'll call them Muslim fundamentalists, I guess, for lack of a better term, right?
Yeah, like the question, hey, is jihad, you know, okay with you? Are you okay with that word? Versus, hey, are you about to go join the KKK? Like, those are completely different questions.
And he also doesn't mention that there are groups, and there are probably in more moderate Muslim countries or more moderate Muslim even cities inside of, you know, maybe less moderate Muslim countries, there are probably groups that are similar to like Patriot Prayer or the Proud Boys, where they're trying to act as though they're something that they're not and they're extremists. But he's like making no mention of this, right? Like, for example, Dave Rubin says that he's like of the center left. But Dave Rubin, the character he's playing on his show, is not of the center left. All he does is talk shit about the far left all the time, right? And so, like, none of this, there's like no nuance when he's talking about what kinds of questions to ask, or in this case, well, you're either in the KKK or the fucking Aryan Brotherhood, or you're not a white nationalist. Fucking that solves that. You know, come on.
He's not comparing apples and oranges. He's comparing apples to like fucking filet mignon. Like, they're not in the same category of food. No, he's comparing apples to like pencils.
They're not even close to the same. But you could give one of them to your teacher. And then if you don't have one, your teacher will get pissed at you and be like, well, thanks for the apple, but you really need to bring a pencil instead tomorrow.
Like, I guess you could eat a pencil if you like really tried, and like you might be able to write with an apple if you squeezed hard enough. But they're not the same thing.
All right, here's the next clip. We're not going to get through all these in an hour, but we'll get close. We'll get close to all of them. We're not going to just do them all.
All right, I'm putting a hard line right at 8 p.m. because I got to go take a pee.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. We got to play a song, and then maybe this guy in the chat would like a word.
The Southern Poverty Law Center has just immolated itself by more or less calling everyone in sight a neo-Nazi. As you might remember, they called my friend Majid Nawaz an anti-Muslim extremist. He's, in fact, a Muslim reformer. They had to pay him over $3 million for that defamation. They've gone nuts over there. And yet they're still assumed to be reliable brokers of information on white nationalism and Christian identitarian extremism in the U.S. Unfortunately, they're not. And that's a loss for all of us.
Okay, so I looked that up. They didn't win a case. SPLC settled. It's hard to win a defamation case, so my guess is that SPLC settled for the same reason a lot of other people that sue settle, is because dragging it out through court would have been a mess, and it would have cost millions of dollars. Because the Majid that he's talking about is funded by people like Sam Harris, and, well, Sam Harris isn't directly giving him money, but he's got a pretty good grift going himself with a big pipeline of money to throw at this problem, right? So he could have made it pretty expensive. So, like, a lot of people settle lawsuits not because they think they wouldn't win, but because fighting it is too expensive, takes too much time, and, like, stops them from what they're doing. Sam Harris is also mad at the Southern Poverty Law Center because they have mentioned him a couple times. So he has a personal axe to grind with them. They've quoted him, which is obviously in bad faith.
I feel like if they're mentioning you, you're doing something wrong.
Right. And if they're totally wrong about something, then that's the way it goes. But I don't find them to be wrong about things very often. They have a great article on their site about the men's rights movement. They call it male supremacy. And that article is so good. So good. The only thing missing is that it's part of the fucking funnel that ends at Stefan Molyneux.
The men's rights. I agree with them. The men's rights movement is male supremacy.
It certainly is. I'd be willing to bet that at some point doing this show, we're going to find somebody on Twitch who's an MRA and is going to want to be like, actually, let me tell you straight. We had one talk to me and Ashley one night, but we were shit-faced. It was
Fucking Sammy liked it because we were talking mad shit, but
actually, when you're going through a divorce, the court will just stab you.
What do you think the number is? Whatever you think it is will dictate how big a problem you consider white supremacy to be in the U.S. Now, I will grant you, we are just one large incident away from being convinced that white supremacy is a major problem. If we had another bombing the size of Oklahoma City now in the current environment, there's no question white supremacy would be our foremost concern, at least for a while. And that's regardless of how many people we think are actually involved in it. But it's an empirical question to determine how many people are sympathetic with this ideology. So,
except it's impossible to find out, because the problem is, like, I can tell you that I run into white supremacists in my Twitter mentions all the time, but you wouldn't be able to ask them the right questions to determine it. It's just that they're just white supremacists. Like, I just run into them enough. And this is just my anecdotal evidence. It's not even evidence. It's just an anecdote, right? Like, I call it the terrorist chatter in my Twitter, in my mentions. I've mentioned it a couple times. People are like, oh, where's all the terrorist chatter? I'm like, check my Twitter mentions. I talk shit to MRAs and racists all the time. But this is like a non-quantifiable thing, because you can't just survey everybody. Because the questions are going to, like, push people a certain direction. Like, who asked the questions? Why are they asking the questions? What order are the questions in? Like, surveys are generally pretty bad. Like, they don't really work unless it's like a single question and people understand the question. This is all really dumb.
So let me first admit that I could be wrong about this, right? My intuitions could be wrong. My reading of the news could be biased. But I believe that while it's scary, white supremacy is still the fringe of the fringe in the United States. And this is not to deny how Trump has given comfort to racists everywhere. This is not to deny how this could become suddenly a much bigger problem in the future. Let's just get our bearings here for a second. I'm accused of being a white supremacist.
I do not think that Sam Harris is a white supremacist.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him a white supremacist. He's white supremacist sympathetic, but he's not a white supremacist.
But I don't think that he, like, you and me, like, we would have a little bit of a hard time, like, coming to the conclusion whether or not Charles Murray is, like, a full-on white supremacist, right? Because we would struggle with the definition of the word. But again, because he's a public figure and an author, what I care about is, like, what does his work do? What is the impact of his work? What are white supremacists saying about his work? And in that case, they're using his work as a justification for some of what they believe. So whether or not he, in his heart of hearts, believes that white people are superior or whatever, I don't give a fuck, because I can never know that for sure, right? Like, I generally trust you that, you know, you enjoy my company and you're not just here to get famous on my show, right?
But hold on.
Bitch, make me famous.
Right, but but if that was the case, I would never know it. And so my only thing would be, what's the result? Oh, HK's generally on time, at least on Wednesday. And and HK thinks about what he's going to say before he says it, and we have a good time doing a show together, right? So there you go. Problem solved. I don't care if you're just here to get famous. You've chosen the wrong platform to do that on. We mostly make fun of dumb conspiracy theorists and then I slur into the microphone for the last 30 minutes on Sunday.
I'm pretty much here to do that.
Oh, make fun of conspiracy theorists and slur into the microphone?
If nobody followed us, I'd still be here every Wednesday and every Sunday.
All right, well, here's the rest of this clip. This will be the last clip we play because we got a heart out at 8, but that's good. Anybody in the chat who thinks that they'd like to tell us what's real and what's good, the Discord is discord.me/echoplex. Anybody who agrees with this is welcome to join. Fuck, everybody's welcome to join. But we're gonna play the rest of this clip and get out of here.
Right. We're of dog whistling to white supremacists. That's the level of the criticism here. Or not being worried about white supremacy because I'm a racist who sort of agrees with their whole program. Well, first of all, I'm Jewish.
Okay.
Right. And I've received death threats from white supremacists. Okay, so take that data point into consideration for a moment.
Except that you hate identity politics. I think that in this case, I think the irrational person would go the other way.
he would be like, you know what? I'm getting death threats from white supremacists, and I don't. And he's like, I don't think that what I'm saying is that radical. I'm not a leftist. This is a problem. They're doing this because I'm Jewish. I would immediately think that that would be like alarm bells, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a public figure and I have white supremacists threatening me and I like to take my family to dinner and shit. This is alarming. That's what I would think. If we started getting emails from white supremacists being like, hey, here's your zip code, you know, keep an eye out for us. That would be alarming.
Yeah.
But it for him, it's like, I don't even know.
This argument is stupid. You know, he's supposed to be a rational thinker, and he's saying, like, I can't be a white supremacist. I'm Jewish. Like, that doesn't, those, the two are not mutually exclusive.
They aren't. So there's a bunch more clips. Maybe we'll do some of them in the post game. Oh, I see there's two people in the chat kind of complaining about the content, which is exactly why we do this content. Anybody watching on YouTube, thanks for tuning in. The way to go is to watch live, because we do a little bit of post game. We either, if people are, you know, want to talk to us via voice, they can do it via Discord, or we'll play some videos. Maybe we'll see what Watson is up to. Rebecca Watson, because I love her.
Yes.
So there's a Rebecca Watson video, probably some Scientology TV, and definitely another cocktail for me, for you as well.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we're going to play something a little bit long so we have a moment to chill out. I also think I'm going to pull the banner down and open the window, because if you can't see on the stream because I have the camera's resolution turned down, I'm sweating like a, not like a pig, but because I don't think pigs really sweat that much.
I think sweating like a human.
Sweating like a human. It's certainly warm and I don't have central air. So is there anything you want to hear that you know is a little bit on the longer side?
I mean, chocolate is always good.
Yeah, we can just play the regular version of chocolate. That's 4.5 minutes. I have time to make a cocktail. Oh, you can make me a cocktail. And I'll pull the banner down and you can pee.
All right. And we'll see you on the other side of the song.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Echoplexmedia.com. You go to the support us page. We have a couple cool t-shirts up right now that you can buy. And we also, there's other ways to support us, like Patreon. You can give us money directly via PayPal. You can roll your own server at DigitalOcean. That's, by the way, that they're providing the bandwidth for IceCast 2 on there. And when we run a multi-stream, we're using our RTMP server on DigitalOcean as well. So we appreciate their support. We hope they don't listen to our content very much, because then they'll start sending us a bill. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. This is Kenny Thomas and the Southern Baptists. They're a great local band here out of San Jose. Support your local music scene wherever you're at. And if you're not in a big city, find the nearest big city to you and, like, start checking out some of the bands and shit there, because they're always great communities, and they'll be glad to hear from you if you email them and be like, hey, I'm in such and such a place 40 miles away and I love your song. They love that shit. Kenny Thomas and the Southern Baptists, Chocolate. This song is sex. And I think there's two people in our chat right now who don't know what that means.